Mark chapter 1, verses 43 and 45. Christ's command disobeyed. Christ's command disobeyed. Jesus sent him away. This is the leper. He sent him away at once with a strong warning. He was strict with him. See that you don't tell anyone this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Mark chapter 1, verses 43 to 45. Here we see the authority of Christ. Here we see he has cleansed the leper from his illness, his affliction, his skin complaint, whatever it is. He's worked this miracle, this sign. He's demonstrated the gospel. And now he exercises this authority over the man. And of course, this is a picture again of the gospel. Christ saves us from our sins. And we are saved from our sins by trusting him and his precious blood and his righteousness to put us right with God, to wash away our sins and to present us faultless before God. But we are bought with a price now, and we glorify God in our spirits and our body. This is our reasonable spiritual worship, to be devoted to the Lord. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I've quoted Romans 12 there, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I've quoted 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, and Romans 14, verses 7 to 9. This is the spirit of the gospel, and Christ exercises this authority here over this man about what he should do and what he shouldn't do. First of all, show the priest. This is the day of the old covenant still, and Christ is going through that system. But it's clearly done, as it says, show the priest what's happened to you and go for the ritual cleansing as you normally would and so on, as a testimony to them. You're going to illustrate the gospel by taking yourself there. You'll show them what's happened. And, of course, this will be, to the glory of Christ, a testimony to these old covenant priests. But the main commandment here is, but keep it quiet. Don't tell anybody about this. Now, you might think this is very strange. What? Don't tell anybody? But Christ is his own master, and he sets his own terms. And it's not ours to question him, brother and sister. It wasn't this leper's job to question him. Because it would attract crowds, okay? And you think, well, that's lovely. But the popularity would rise, and he'd be pressed to do all this healing, and his popularity would go through the sky to the limits. But no, he was determined to go preaching, and eventually, of course, he's determined to go to the cross. You remember it says, he set his face as a flint, determined. He wasn't going to budge to Jerusalem. He knows that death is waiting for him there, but he's going to go, and nothing is going to put him off. But this man went out and talked. Now, I can understand it. It's quite natural, but nevertheless, it's wrong here. As a result, verse 45, the place gets so crowded, as a result, Jesus couldn't enter a town. He couldn't go in there because there's so many pressing in on him, and he wouldn't be allowed to preach, and they'd be healing and clamoring for it due to the noise and so on. You remember Saul and Samuel, that interview, and Saul has to obey God, but he disobeyed God. He's broken in, and Samuel challenges him, but he said, well, I thought this would serve God, you know, it's for the glory of God. No, says Samuel, no, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience, keep obeying. Don't think you know better than God, he says. You do what he says, as Mary says in John chapter 2, verse 5, in the wedding. Whatever he says to you, do it. You see, the crowds, the popularity would prevent Jesus. Now, you will see in John chapter 6, if you read that, very clearly, that the crowds are pressing in upon Christ. So what does he do? He preaches a tremendous sermon about eating his flesh and drinking his blood to drive the people away. And they go away in their troops. He said, you come because of the loaves. That's why you like the miracles. You like all that sort of stuff. It's me you've got to come for. It's the gospel. Popularity, you see, is a huge drag and interference upon the gospel. Let me say that again. Popularity can have a tremendously damaging effect upon the gospel. That word needs to be said to the evangelical today. We live in the day of the evangelical superstar. And of course we got it. And in the past too, we built mausoleums to them. Yeah, we honour their name. And it'll be in the future, I've no doubt. These great men and so on. Yeah. Be very careful, my friend. Popularity, flattery, can hinder the gospel and prevent the real business. I wonder how many men have been diverted into all sorts of occupations away from the gospel because of popularity. I believe it's one of our greatest idols. I believe that the modern teenager loves the pop stars and the film stars and the fashion stars. And I believe the same is going on in the churches. We love our stars, the great names and so on. Now, Jesus here is what we call countercultural. He's against the culture. He's counterintuitive. You'd think he'd want popularity. No, he says, popularity is not what I've come for. It's to save sinners. And nothing is going to stop him from preaching the gospel now, and above all, going to the cross in due time. Let us learn that lesson, brother and sister. Let us avoid making gods of men, and let us also avoid the courting of popularity. The gospel is not popular. Christ is not popular. Very, very few want him, and only those who have been deeply worked upon by God's Spirit in regenerating grace. May God bless his word to us, and may we seriously ponder and act upon these things. Amen.